To younger people, Bosnia is a foreign concept. It's something, it's almost a legend that their parents tell them about because they never experience it. It's a place they make vacation.
That's Elvadin Arnautovic, and he's talking about a play called Bosnian/American, The Dance for Life. It's his very first play, and it examines the lives of the children of these Bosnian immigrants. I'm Nancy Fowler, and this is Cut and Paste.
And I'm Willis Ryder Arnold. The play was written by Deanna Gent of the Mustard Seed Theater. We also spoke with the director, Adam Flores, and he actually starts us off describing the plot of the play.
We use a Bosnian children's story called Aska and the Wolf as kind of a framing mechanism. And then we follow particularly a group of four young Bosnians and kind of talk about the little journeys that they had from Bosnia to St. Louis, and then have other interspersing moments of just narrative that came from direct quotes from different Bosnian immigrants who told us about their experience and how they got here and different little elements of what they did. But the story basically follows four friends now and remembering where they came from and the process that goes here, interspersed with this Aska and the Wolf story and other little intervals and dance and movement and music and all sorts of other things.
And you mentioned a little bit that there's a bit of a intergenerational examination that's happening here, too. Can you just explain a little bit more about why you feel that's important to actually examine here?
Even within the Bosnian community, we are diverse, and we have multiple dimensions of diversity, from education to income. Bosnian Muslims, Croats who are Catholics, and Serbian who are Orthodox. We also have a Romani minority. And everyone experiences United States differently. How an older Bosnian perceive United States is completely different than how young people perceive it. To younger people, Bosnia is a foreign concept. It's something, it's almost a legend that their parents tell them about because they never experience it. It's a place they make vacation, and their exposure to Bosnia is different.
And how does that come out in the play?
Well, we follow the stories of four young Bosnians, and then the framing story of Aska and the Wolf is about a young sheep that gets a little away from the herd and her mother having to try to keep her safe but wanting for her to explore. So in the play, we talk a lot about that need to take care of your young and to watch them, but also letting them explore and figuring it out and finding it out on their own. And that exploration that the young people do is their survival.
So that is the parallel.
Yeah, that's one of the many parallels. The other parallel is also the sense of, but there comes with new dangers when you explore. And those dangers are not monolithic, that they change, you know, from the war to being in limbo as you transfer from Bosnia to Denmark or to Germany or to St. Louis to then being in a new place. When you're 30, 25 in that age, 9/11 happened right in the middle of your adolescence. And that kind of sense of rebirth of Islamophobia rekindles a lot of things. And so those dangers change, and the way that generations have to deal with those dangers changes as well.
How did you actually first encounter this story, and why did you go to it as a frame for the play?
Well, so Deanna Gent is the playwright, and she's my colleague at Fulbright University and the artistic director of Mustard Seed Theater. And we did not know what this play was. We were just listening and listening and listening and waiting. And we had a date when we thought we were going to be ready with the play, but we just didn't have anything yet. And we kind of were waiting for Deanna to find her in. And as a playwright, that's what you're always looking for. Like, what is my in to this story? And Aska and the Wolf and the stories of mothers and children and generational concerns was the thing that I think captured her. Aska and the Wolf is not the most popular Bosnian story. It's not like Mary Had a Little Lamb. It's not the most known thing. It was just, it's just one of the ways that we were able to kind of find our way into the story.
The story is such a great pick because it reflects Bosnian war experience. Bosnian Muslims came into the war unprepared, completely unprepared, because until the last moment, we believed there will be no war. Actually, there is one sentence that was used to describe us, koyanya naklanya. It's like lamb into slaughterhouse. And there are so many parallels with this story that I'm able to see. I mean, even the coffee. I mean...
What about the coffee?
Well, so there is a very specific type of coffee that Bosnians drink that is more traditional and specific. It is a process, and it is enjoyed, and it is time, and it is slow, and it is dark.
Oh, definitely. If I go to my parents, it's always Bosnian coffee. And
so one of the generational differences, though, and one of the things that we learned was that when we were meeting with young Bosnians, we're at Starbucks every time. And so that's part of that generational difference is what kind of coffee are we drinking and what does that mean about the experiences that we're having based on the kind of coffee we're drinking. And so those kind of things start coming out and become really great signifiers for the way that we tell the story, and they become the drama of the thing. And so, for instance, our four young Bosnians, they're meeting at Starbucks, and on the other side of the stage, we see the family drinking the traditional coffee. So there is these parallels that we can really easily draw just by listening.
I'm going to jump back to the Oscar and the wolf kind of framing element. I'm a little bit curious, you know, the wolf is kind of representative of danger, and during the play, the wolf becomes not only a wolf, but it ends up in priest's cassock, and it ends up representing the U.S. as well. I'm curious, what kind of uniting element do you see that wolf really being for the characters in this play?
I think one of the things that's important is that thematically, dramatically, we have uniting of this is the thing that is going to untie us from our community. I think what becomes really part of the listening process is not wanting to clean things up too nicely, you know, and really being aware of the fact that though we can see that as the thing, that the things that try to divide us are our dangers, but understanding how very different the different kinds of dangers that the Bosnian community has had to go through are, and that it's not just consistently, well, someone hates them because of their faith, but it's consistently a misunderstanding, or even if there is acceptance, it becomes morphed into a dishonesty to oneself and whatnot. And so their experience has been very unique in the way that they have had to change their defense mechanisms. But one of the things that is unifying about the Bosnian community versus the wolf is that they rely on their community and they rely on their family. And that's the real true tie. It's not so much that the wolf is the same, but the way they address the wolf is the same by returning to community, returning to family. To be really clear, this is a community that was the victim of ethnic cleansing. There was a deliberate attempt to get rid of all of them. And that, full stop, provides their survival with greater insight into the community that they are. And what is great, I think, about this project and the Bosnian community's presence in St. Louis is that they have also revitalized our community and existed in our community in a way that is purely inherent to the fact that they are survivors and workers and promote the best things about our city and have been doing that regardless of what side of the ocean or what the wolf is at that time. Those are the best elements, and they reveal that about our city a lot.
Elvadin, I'm interested in your story.
I left Bosnia in 92. I was 14. So the family was separated, and my mom, my brother, and myself went to a concentration camp, Trnopolje, which was kind of under supervision of Red Cross at that point. So besides not getting food and having to sleep on concrete floor, really? I was not really tortured. With my dad, it was completely different story. He went to Keroterm, Omarska, and Manjača, three really notorious concentration camps. And so we're able to escaped to Croatia, me, my brother, and my mom. And then we ended up in Germany, where I lived for 9 years. And there was one scene where my mom saved my life. So what happened is...
You're saying in real life.
In real life.
Okay.
So what happened is there was this village where we escaped to after my city fell. And we're at my grandma's house. It was probably 20 of us in that house. And among us, there are about 5 men. I was 14 at the time, and I was same height, almost 6 foot. And so Serbian soldiers came in, and they're searching for a weapon and for men. And so they took the men away, and they said, woman on one side, men on the other, women and kids. So I went to women and kids, and they're like, you son of the whore. Can I say this on the radio? what are you doing with kids? So he pulled me back, gets me on the ground, and the other guy is trying to lift his head. The soldier hits him with his rifle, with the bottom of his rifle, and blood splashes all over. So I keep my head down. And then my mom jumps on my back, and she says, I'm not leaving without my son. And there are, woman, we'll slash your throat. She said, do whatever you want to me. I'm not leaving without my son. And the guy's like, how old is he? She said, she's 14. And the Serbian soldiers, they are debating, should we slash her throat? Should we kill her? And then one said, let them be. And we go inside, women and kids, they take all the men away. And we hear a gunshot. But we didn't leave. We waited for about an hour to make sure that they are gone. After we left, there was this young man, I think he was like 17 or 18. He panicked and started to run, and they just shot him in the back of the head. And, you know, rifles are powerful. So from that distance, you know, the brain was on the street. It was just a weird experience. To me as a kid, it was not real. What was more traumatic to me is not knowing where my dad was he alive? About 2,500 people from my city were killed in those concentration camps, mostly men, including my uncle. What was most traumatic, I mean, it was seeing my dad after 8 months in concentration camp. And I met him in Hamburg, Germany. We picked him up from the train station. And he's my dad, and I was his kid. And when I saw him for the first time since he was released from concentration camp, he had a bump on his hand because his skull was fractured. So his head looked so big, and he looked so tiny. He was weighing 80 pounds or 90 pounds. When I hugged him, it felt like I was hugging a kid. And that was actually the most traumatic experience.
You said his hair had changed colors too, right?
Yeah. My dad, his nickname was Bailey, which means white one, blonde one. Before the concentration camp, he was blonde. And after concentration camp, his hair turned to kind of brownish. Like his hair got darker. And his nickname is still Bailey, which means white hair or blonde hair.
I mean, the material that you're working with to produce this play is incredibly difficult and incredibly traumatic. How do you try and balance the real stories, the real horror, and the real trauma with something that people can sit through and not feel assaulted by?
So one of the things is that one of the benefits to this project is that it's one of many. I mean, we already have plans in the works to begin another Bosnian project working primarily with students, with younger high school students for next year and moving further on. So we're not trying to get it all in right now. you know, our play is about an hour long. It is, and it is specifically about this version of this. Working with the Bosnian Memory Project has also done a lot, because their job is to be historians and to document. And that's what Dr. Ben Moore is working on, is collecting of artifacts and collecting of stuff and to document particularly the war. We have moved our focus to the stage of the immigration and the coming to St. Louis. We talk about the war is present in the play, but we it's not a documentary style play. It is not there are some verbatim lines that people have said to us, but most of them are not like directly related to a story such as this. Because, not that we don't think that that's important, but we think that oftentimes in making that theatrical and dramatizing it, it distorts it sometimes and sometimes makes it more elegant and beautiful than it deserves, you know, and that can be a really tricky balance. So we're going to have information from the Bosnian Memory Project there. There will be lobby displays. Highly recommend people coming early to, one, brush up on their history of what happens, and then also to get those artifacts and look at the things and see the stories. And our play then just focuses on kind of what happens after. Twofold. One, because that reveals something about St. Louis to us. You know, their view of St. Louis and growing up here tells me something about St. Louis. But also, too, that these individuals are not defined by the greatest tragedy that happened to them. You know, their community is not defined by the greatest tragedy that happened to them. Their community is defined by the work that they consistently do in St. Louis, in our neighborhoods, as our neighbors, and that you work with these people, you know these people, and though they have these tragedies, they also are contributing greatly to what we have here, and that is what we want to focus on, and that is part of the celebration of the Bosnian community that we want to be a part of, not as a way to forget, but as a way to truly celebrate where we are at now and the contributions that are being made continually by the Bosnian community.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. We don't want to forget the war, but at the same time, we don't want the war to be defining characteristic of Bosnian community.
Right.
I mean, we are hardworking people with potential, and we want to be recognized as such. And we're a victim at one point in our lives. We don't want to stay victims forever, you know. And sometimes when people concentrate on the war, they develop the victim mentality. Mm-hmm. And victim mentality as an individual will not bring you ahead in life. And I think in the Bosnian community, what we are trying is to move forward.
And in particular, the younger Bosnians whose memories of this are faint and harsh and in childhood, they really have a space to say, but I am an adult. I've had all of my formative time, you know, so many of my years here in St. Louis, here in America, or in Germany, or in Denmark, mm-hmm. or wherever it might be. They like the Cardinals as much as I do. They know as much about the culture of our city than I do. And so there needs to be some sort of representation for celebrating that as well.
As Bosnian in St. Louis, we are part of the community, and we should collaborate with other groups from St. Louis to make our community better.
Elvedine, you have not acted in a play before. Is that correct?
Not really. I mean, some basically middle school, but nothing significant.
And you play several characters
definitely.
In this play. So how did this happen?
I like to sing. And I also can help tell the story of my community to a wider audience. I was really excited about it. I said, okay, let's try it. Maybe I might be a natural. Who knows?
Elvedine is a natural performer, that is for sure. It doesn't matter if it's theater or dance or singing. He's got the natural performer self, so we weren't too worried about him. We figured we could make it work.
So. Do you do all three in this performance, sing, dance, and act, the triple threat?
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Yes, he does, all three. Absolutely.
Yeah, I do Bosnian song, I do Usher dance. Oh, yeah. Am I seeing too much?
No, it's okay. It's all right. No more spoilers, all right?
Okay, definitely.
This is a great little tidbit that Elvedine. It's been great to have, as a director, to not be the expert on almost anything in the room that's going on, because I always have to defer and be like, is this the right thing? You know, how do we pronounce this word? is this a real moment? I don't know. Like, help me here. And then I also have Deanna, who's the playwright. And I'm like, is this structurally correct to what we want to do and all these things? And we were learning pronunciations, and Elvedine was, some people were struggling with pronunciation. He's like, it's just phonetic. Like, the letters, there's no extra letters. He's like, that's why we don't have spelling bees in Bosnia, because it wouldn't do you any good. And it tells you, and like, that's something that I've learned now about thinking about the English language, that the fact that we have spelling bees tells us something about our language, when in Bosnian, it would be useless. They would be there all day. Everyone would win.
So given that Radovan Karadzic was just prosecuted and found guilty of war crimes, genocide, and crimes against humanity, and that actually came out during the rehearsals for this play, how did that affect the participants?
At the beginning of every rehearsal, we check in. We just see how people are doing. How's their day? Are you tired? Are you whatever? Just so we know that I know that if you give me a look, maybe it's about your day instead of me, and vice versa. And when it happened that day, we paused, and we were early in the process, so some of the other actors' knowledge about what all was going on. And I just said, and I asked them, and I turned and I said, would you like to talk about this? And they said, yes, we think we should. And then they just taught us and told us what was going on and explained their views on the situation, and not just the history, but also kind of what they were thinking, their frustrations. And taking that time again to talk and listen is so important, because then it gives us the knowledge to like move forward. And in any theatrical experience, you want to have some background knowledge, and this is just an ever-evolving one.
And I feel the check-in on that day where we discussed the verdict helped the cast and the production crew put things in perspective. I mean, I definitely had a feeling that there lens about the play had changed after that moment.
I will say that it wasn't even so much about that moment. It was about working with these people and knowing that the group of artists that we've collected are in the midst of something that is continual and is important. Even performing this play like 3 years from now, we would need to be changing things to adjust for the way things are and the way that the Bosnian community has represented.
That was director Adam Flores talking about the play Bosnian/American, The Dance for Life. That play will appear at two venues and will run through May 1st.
This is Cut and Paste, produced by Willis Ryder Arnold
and Nancy Fowler. The music you've heard throughout the piece was produced by local musician Eric Hall.
You can find Cut and Paste at stlpublicradio.org or wherever you get your podcasts.